Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
How many has enjoyed this question series? All three of you. Rest of y'all ain't even been to church. I'm kidding. But I've enjoyed having this. We've just been asking questions, and over the last, hold on, let me get where I need to be here. I'm trying to hold the mic up here. But there is power in questions. There is purpose in questions. And questions can bring revelation if we ask the right ones. And if we listen intently for the answer. Not our answer. Come on, our answer gets us in trouble a lot of times, the one we want to hear all the time. But listening to what God is saying, and so many times he's speaking to us through the small, still voice. And sometimes he's rattling our head saying, I've told you 6 or 7 times. Are you going to listen? Well, we talked about last week, who is Jesus? And everyone around, he asked the question, who do you say that I am? Everybody had their own idea. Everybody had their own version. But Peter stepped up and said, you are the Christ. And I said last week, he said, God downloaded that in Peter. He got revelation from the Father because he asked the right questions and he was in the position to hear the answer. There's 4 things that we've instilled in this church since we started. One was to know God, to find freedom, discover our purpose, and then make a difference. When you really know God, you find freedom. It leads us to be able to discover our purpose and ultimately to make a difference in our own lives and the lives of our families and friends around us. It helps us to not just look at, says love, Louisville, back to life, a realization of loving Louisville back to life. So you might ask this morning, what is my purpose? Definition of purpose is a reason for which something is done. It's created for which something exists. God did not save us to sit on a padded pew. He didn't save us to sit on a padded chair. He wants us to change the world, but he wants us to change our world. Can I just tell you this morning? We live in a world that needs us as the church to make a difference. Our nation has problems. We got tension on every side. We're divided on many fronts. It's reported that every 11 minutes someone commits suicide in the United States. 11 minutes. Closer to home, I know this is heavy this morning. There's a heaviness in here right now God wants to break. Our state has problems. Kentucky's overdose rate is in the top 10 of the 50 states. Our city has problems. There's 2024, there was 141 homicides. We need Jesus. We ask if God is in control, why does he need us? Because the Bible says we are co-laborers with him. So in Matthew 28, he's speaking to his disciples. And he's speaking to a group of people and he's giving them the Great Commission. And he's telling them this, I want you to go get the best camera system you can get, Amy. I want you to go get a large building, have the lights and have the smoke and have all that stuff, have a great service, and then I want you to hold on to G till I come back. Nope, that's not exactly what he said at all. He said in Matthew 28:19, he said, go, there's an action word. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. They had to become disciples to make disciples. He said, follow me. He grabbed them out of every area of life, said, follow me, follow me, follow me. Well, wait a minute, I got to go do this. No, he said, no, just drop your nets and follow me. And then what happened? They had to spend 3 years learning under Jesus. They asked a lot of questions. They got a lot of things answered probably they didn't want to hear, but Jesus gave them all of the right training. How much? 3 years. They left their families. They left everything that they knew. How much are we willing to invest to see God transform our lives and in the lives of our family? How much are we looking to invest to make a difference in this world. We want the promotion without the preparation. We want the platform without plowing or even putting out a seed. We want the status without seeking. But the Bible says this, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Servants become rulers. Jesus even said himself, even the Son of Man came to serve and not be served. We need servants that are teachable, that are humble, that are adaptable to the one. Those are the ones that God is going to use to make a difference in the world. If we think we have all the answers, I'm telling you one thing right now, we haven't asked enough questions yet. How can we make a difference? Mother Teresa said this, was asked how we could feed the world. And she said, one mouth at a time. Many times we think we're making a difference by affecting huge crowds and big numbers of people. We want everybody to be in the church building. We want that. But God oftentimes in our life calls us to individuals. Here God is teaching his disciples and a group, how are they going to make a difference in the world around them? The title of my message is, Are You Living That Salt Life? I didn't really have a salty shirt to wear. I was thinking about wearing my shorts and flip-flops this morning, but I wasn't feeling it. My wife, I didn't ever understand what that meant. I'd see that on people's cars, all the salt life. I was like, what does that mean? It means you just want to be around the salt. Because she said, I want to live that salt life one day. But Jesus is talking about a different version of salt. In Matthew 5:13, he says this, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, here's the question, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? Notice he says this, you are the salt of the earth. He doesn't say you're going to become the salt of the earth or you'll be the salt of the earth. He says, no, you are the salt of the earth. I'm going to read it to you in the message. They don't have this one. Let me tell you why you're here. Let me tell you your purpose. You are here to be salt. I'm giving you your purpose this morning. If you call on the name of Jesus, you say, Jesus Christ has saved my soul. This is your purpose in life. You are here to be salt seasoned. That brings out the God flavors on this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? If you've lost your usefulness, you will end up in the garbage. Salt has properties that affect everything around them. First in history, salt was so very important. It was a tradable commodity. It was bartered for. It was exchanged for. It was very, very important. And the word salary comes from salt money. You ever heard the old country saying, he ain't worth his salt? Y'all ain't from the country. You ain't heard that one. But they especially made roads so they could transfer salt from one position to the other. But also it's used in the Bible to symbolize purification, loyalty, usefulness, and value and faithfulness. What does salt do? Number one, it produces thirst. Are we thirsty? Are we producing thirst? I asked Vonda if being thirsty is still a good word. She said, yeah, you can still use it. Last week I said something. She said, that's so outdated. Jesus met a lady at the well one day, and she'd been going to the well every day. And he told her, he said, I can give you a different kind of water to drink. She'd had five husbands, one boyfriend. You could say she was a little thirsty. She gets a bad rap because you don't know what happened. Some of the husbands could have passed away, and you know, but she looked a little thirsty to me. She was thirsty for security. She was thirsty for belonging. She was thirsty for identity. But here's the thing. She met, all those other men had let her down. But she met the right man today. Mindy got her prince, but she thinks I'm a frog sometimes. There was something about him that made her thirsty for something different. Something about him made her realize why her thirst was never, ever quenched. John 4:13 says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, the water you've been coming to every day, will be thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst again. But that water I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up unto everlasting life. What? I'm asking a question. I want you to ponder on this. What are you using every day? What are we using? Let me put this, a we, because I do it too, to quench our thirst. Is it ambition? Do you want to jump over top of everybody? Is it possessions? You think you got to have everything? Because I can tell you, I had a lot more than I have now, and I wasn't happy. Is it relationships? If it's not satisfying, you got to stop drinking the same water you've always been drinking and try something new. Come on, we've been drinking the same old stuff and getting the same old results. God says, he told her, he said, if you'll put down the natural water and take what I'm trying to give to you, you'll never thirst again. She said, give me some of that. He said, it's free. All you got to do is ask. We have to change. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We just have to change our desires and be more thirsty for God, not thirsty for everything around us. What else does salt do? Is salt, number two, preserves. You got to listen to this point. Salt was used as a preservative. What salt does, it kills bacteria and germs and allows things to last longer. The Egyptians used this to all the Pharaoh's bodies to preserve them. Jesus called his disciples and us to be the preservatives of the world. What it does, it slows down the process of moral and spiritual decay. It kills the things that sometimes we just need to let die. How many of us are still throwing salt on stuff that should have been dead a long time ago? How many are still throwing salt on that past thing that God says, I've already forgotten about that? You're throwing salt on that habit that God says, okay, you can overcome that. You're throwing salt on those hurts that God says, I can. If you'll quit throwing salt on it, it'll die. I remember there was a relationship that I was in, and I threw salt on that thing for about 4 years. I ain't saying I did everything perfectly right, because I didn't. But I knew God was trying to move me out of a situation. I knew those 4 years, I knew that I needed to be out of that situation, but I didn't know how. And I just kept throwing salt on it. I kept throwing salt on it. Well, maybe it's going to get better. Maybe it's going to be. It never got better. Till one day, everything had to happen for a reason, and God killed it in my life. He had to. I wasn't going to kill it on my own. Come on, there's things that God's going to kill in your life because you're trying to hold on to it too much. You keep throwing too much salt on it. Sometimes you just got to let it go. You got to let it die. And let me tell you, the world outside right now is drowning. We need to be life preservers, not anchors. Anybody got an anchor in their life? Don't raise your hand if it's your wife. Kidding. I have a life preserver next to me. She's always throwing one to me. But you got to get some people around you that are throwing you the life preserver instead of throwing you the anchor all the time. You hang out with the certain people in their life, and God's already trying to disconnect you from them. He's already trying to pull you apart, because all they're doing is keeping you back from your purpose. They're keeping you back from where he wants you to go, and they're pulling and dragging you down. Find you a life preserver. We need to preserve what matters and throw salt on our present, throw salt on our future, our family, and our legacy. Number three, what else does salt do? It improves the flavor. What do people think you taste like by watching your life? You ever give a baby a lemon? It's so funny. Come on, it's actually torture, but it's funny. But when you walk into a room, do you have that lemon face on all the time? Come on, I'm trying to help you this morning. Are you bitter and you angry? Are you depressed all of the time? Then you need to get your salt straight. Because listen, I've said this to a few people. You can have a bad day every once in a while, but when it turns into 7 in a row or 14 in a row or 21 in a row, something's wrong and you need to get an adjustment with God. Are you the salt or are you salty? Do you have a salty attitude? I remember years ago that was the big thing. They'd be like, ooh, she's salty today. Are you salty in your attitude or in your speech? And Pastor Sam sent something out a couple weeks ago. He was talking about coarse jesting and saying things jokingly. And I'm a big joker, but I'm pretty funny sometimes. But I got convicted of it because when I read back and read the scripture, it was like, ooh, I'm guilty of that. I say that. Do I even need to say that? Is there a reason behind? You be quiet. But there are so many things in our speech that we don't even pay attention to. Some of it's obvious. We got a potty mouth. We just need to watch our potty mouth. But there's also those things that we say that we don't really think about that can hurt somebody's feelings. Or it can be brought out in a different light if we're not watching what we're saying. Bible says that our words are powerful and you need to treat them with respect. Are you enhancing the flavor of life around you, or are you making it non-edible? Pastor Mindy loves tacos. I like tacos too. We get Mexican almost for every Friday night. But a taco is just meat and tortilla until you put pico on it, which is a smile. Until you put a little cilantro, come on, God bless cilantro in the name of Jesus. That cilantro is a kind word. Then you put that sour cream on it, oh my Jesus. Y'all don't like sour cream on tacos, I must pray for you. But that could be a helping hand to someone who needs it. Your life ought to taste. It ought to be tasty to someone. It ought to be exciting to someone. It ought to be spicy and not bland. Look at Colossians says this. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Do you have a testimony? Come on. I'm asking you a question. Do you have a testimony? The worst thing that a Christian can do is to lose their testimony. It's not their wealth, it's not their job, it's not their health, it's not their family or even their life. The worst thing you can lose is your testimony. When your testimony is not there, your salt loses its flavor and its savor. It should not be private. And I really believe that you're out somewhere, if you're naming Jesus as your savior, you need to be spreading your salt to everyone around you. And I'm not talking about you gotta get up on a soapbox and preach to everybody, but you gotta get up and you have to let your light so shine before men that they're gonna say, what do they got I want? Yeah. You know what that is? It's as simple as a smile. It's as simple as a hello. It's as simple as opening a door for someone. It's as simple as letting them know. I tell people where I go to church. Sometimes I don't tell them I'm the pastor of the church. I'll be honest, sometimes I don't even say I'm the pastor. I'm like, hey, I go to our city church. You need to come and visit us sometimes. Because sometimes when you can shut the door when they hear, oh, he's the pastor. Oh, my gosh. I just want people to know they're loved here. They're accepted here. Come on. Help me, Jesus. We need to spread our salt and be salty with our faith because we tell everybody else everything that we want to tell them, don't we? Why not tell them Psalms 38 saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to enhance the flavor of Jesus to this lost and dying world. You know why we need to do that? Number 4, salt is essential to life. Salt is the one main currency for trade. I said the salter was paid, the soldier was paid with a ration of salt. But here's what salt does. Salt maintains fluid in our blood cells. It's used to transfer information to our nerves and our muscles. Here's another thing. Salt does not naturally produce in your body. That's not natural. It doesn't naturally make in your body. Without sufficient sodium, your senses would be diluted and would not even function at all. You have to add salt to produce life. Your spirit needs God. I'm just telling you, your spirit needs God and it's going to die without him. That may sound super spiritual. We were made in the image of our Creator. We were made in his image. And without him, there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something you're going to be searching for, always something that you're going to be going after. There's always going to be something you think, if I could just did this, if I could just go there, it's never going to be fulfilled until you add the right ingredient, which is God. A supplement is something that completes you and enhances you. You need to supplement your life with just saying, God, I'm here. I need you. I love that song. Oh, God, my God, I need you. I need you now. You supplement your life by prayer, by reading his word, and being set apart from a crazy world we live in. You do that, and God starts to get the glory. And what's going to happen? Your flesh and your body are going to fight against it. Oh, my goodness. Matthew 5:13 again says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then no good for nothing, I'm reading this again, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. For salt to lose its saltiness, it takes a lot to dilute in. Don't get diluted. Salt doesn't lose its saltiness, it gets absorbed. The world has a lot of things that are trying to absorb our attention. There's a lot of things right now, distractions. Our phone's going off 1,000 times. On Friday nights, we've decided we're putting our phone off to the side. We're putting it down just so we can spend time talking and interacting with each other. We saw somebody, I said this, I think, a few weeks ago. We saw somebody have a whole hour-long dinner. I don't think they spoke three words to each other. Scrolling on the phone. There's so many distractions, not just trying to take you away from God, trying to take away from your wife, from your husband, from your family. God said, okay, there should be a time when you can put that phone up. You can turn that computer off. You can put your iPad down. We need to be living that salt life. Because the Bible says you are the salt of the earth. Who's the salt? We're the salt. Here's the thing. We're positioned to be the main ingredient for this earth. It's not going to be temporary. It should be a lifestyle. We got to start covering people with salt. The salt of who Jesus is. The salt of what he's done in our lives. Don't be afraid to tell him. Let's all stand if you would, please. Maybe today is the day that you become salt. You become salt by giving your heart over to Jesus, and you simply come to him and say, God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. If that's you, if you've never made that public profession of faith, can we dim the lights, please? If you've never made that public declaration, the altars are going to be open. There's going to be someone on the left and right to pray with you, to agree with you. I'll be down front here. Pastor Minnie can be available too if you need prayer. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week. You're not promised tomorrow. None of us are. It says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you can be saved. This morning, I'm going to ask you to make that public declaration to him. You can do that in your seat. You just say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask today, maybe you've lost your saltiness. Maybe your life has just been feeling dull and boring, and I'm just gonna ask us this morning, those that have been following Christ, let's check our salt. Maybe you've been trying to add the wrong additives to your life. What you thought was a supplement has turned into a substitute. God says, I want you to add this, and you say, it tastes fine. God says, I want you to take this away, and we say, it's always tasted this way. Come on, he wants to break some mindsets this morning. God says, if you'll start seasoning your life with me, I can produce things like love, peace, joy, and contentment. This morning, God wants to give you something new, something different. He wants to give you the free gift of salvation if you've never received that, but he also wants to give you your salt back, give your smile back, give you your joy back. Pastor Sam prayed for me beforehand that I needed my joy. Sometimes I think we just need our joy back. These altars are open.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.